You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
We, as Republicans, as Democrats, as independents, as liberals and conservatives,
get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
If it was bad before today, I cannot believe how much worse it has gotten.
If we don't band together and protest, our democracy will be gone.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
And I'm freaked the frickin' frack out.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth, here is Maggie Dawn.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the show. Hope you're having a good hump day. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a great lineup for all of you today. I'm very excited about it. We're going to be joined by Representative Dora Drake at 4:30 for a regular segment called Broad Appeal, as in, hey, how about them broads? They sure do have appeal. Dora Drake, cannot wait to talk with her, native Milwaukeean. I have yet to have an opportunity to kibitz with her, so I'm really looking forward to this one. She was the representative that ran and won in a special election when Senator Lena Taylor resigned her seat and was appointed to the Milwaukee Circuit Court bench. So please do stay tuned for that one. Very excited to have that conversation. And at 5 o'clock, we've got a new segment, which you're going to find here every Wednesday. I'm very thrilled to bring this to all of you. It is the Sports Weekly. Y'all know, if you've been listening to me, that I do love me some sports. So we are going to be talking about sports every Wednesday. Today, I've got a special guest. His name's Jason Wang. He is a writer and contributor at BrewerFanatic.com. He's also a Seattle Mariners fan, so poor guy. We'll talk to Jason. Cannot wait to convene that discussion about Brewers bats. Do they have the Nerf bats or something else going on? We'll discuss all that coming up at 5 o'clock. But as I promised you yesterday, we're going to get right into it this afternoon, because one of the things, as Donald Trump clocks in his 100th day, that I want to talk about is the corruption, damn it. I think there is a overwhelming amount of cynicism amongst all of us, right? I think there is an overwhelming belief that all politicians are rotten. Well, I'm here to tell you that even if that were true, which I don't think it is, there's degrees of rotten. Just like not all lies are created equally, not all corruption is created equally. And Donald Trump is, in my opinion, I'm going to say it now, the most corrupt president by far. Not even calculably in the range of any other president in the last 100-plus years of American history. It's just not even close. And don't be fooled. The fact that he does and engages in much of this pay-to-play in the open doesn't mean that it's not corruption, doesn't mean that it is creating incentives for those that are in government to ignore you, and your family. And that's, so when we use the word corruption, how about we think this in our heads? This is the permission structure for government to only serve the ultra wealthy. I've always said, yeah, you bet your butt there's two justice systems. There's justice systems for regular people and poor folks, and then there is a justice system for the rich and the wealthy. And believe you me, if you happen to be a black folk or a brown folk that is also poor, just middle class, it's an even more scary proposition. The same is true when it comes to corruption in government. Corruption in government perverts the purposes of government. It directs it away from making your life better, and it repurposes government to serve only the elites. So if we want to get ticked off about stuff, if we want to get ticked off about the system isn't working and let's burn it down and we need somebody to blow it up and start over again, I'm here to make an argument to you for this first half hour of the show. The guy to do that, the gal to do that, it's not Donald Trump, nor is it anyone within the MAGA party, because they have all signed on to epic corruption at a scale that simply has never been seen before in modern American history. And by the way, you don't have to infer things here, right? It's like, I don't even want to bring up all the nonsense that the MAGA cult threw around during Joe Biden's presidency, but there were no receipts. They couldn't get there. If they would have had receipts, you don't think Joe Biden would be sitting in federal lockup right now? Like, if they could actually, they can't. The corruption I'm going to detail today is all fact. You don't need to fill in the blanks. There's no dot, dot, dot. It's just the stuff that we know has happened. And it is case in point again and again and again and again, pay to play. It is disgusting, and it means that basically everybody in the Donald Trump administration, from Donald Trump to Elon Musk and all the other billionaire overlords that sit on his cabinet, aren't working for you. You want to know why your paycheck ain't going so far? Because they ain't working for you. They're working for themselves, their own pocketbook, and their billionaire bro buddies. So let's get into it. One of the most comprehensive listings of the corruption of Donald Trump, basically just in recent times, just related to his second term, comes from Senator Chris Murphy. So I want to give the senator all the credit here. I literally found a speech that he gave on the Senate floor, printed out the transcript, and this is what I want to share with you. So please do not give me any credit here. Let's give all the credit where it is due to Senator Chris Murphy. And with that, we're going to dive right in. Now, if you want to point out, let's say, your favorite corrupt thing, or your least favorite, I don't know, the worst corrupt thing, whatever your top three corruption tactics of Donald Trump are this administration, of course I want to hear from you. We're going to have time to do that, because at 5:30 today, we've got the midweek sound off. What's your thing? And so keep a list in your head, because I think it might take me the entirety of this segment and the next to get through all of the out loud, proud, not factually disputable corruption of Donald Trump. Are you all ready? If you are listening along at home, this is the time when I'm like, hey, strap in, get out your notepad and a pencil, jot down some notes so that the next time one of your friends who may have voted for the corrupter in chief in the Oval Office, you can ask them, hey, did you know about? And then read from your handy set of notes, right? Because it's that voluminous. Let's dig in. So on January 6th, this is before Donald Trump is even sworn in, right? Amazon, which has, you know, a ton of business, huge part of our economy, they pay the Trump family $40 million to license a documentary series about Melania. Did you know that? Amazon, Jeff Bezos is like, here, Donald Trump, here's 40 mil. Anybody surprised that Bezos caved about adding the tariff tax amount onto the Amazon prices yesterday? He's like, oh yeah, we'll be transparent with our customers. You know, like your receipts, point out what sales tax. We'll show that to our... No, Donald Trump makes a call. Listen, Jeff, you're not doing that. Yeah. Okay. 40 mil. That's January 6th. January 17th, just 3 days before he's sworn in. This is the big one, ladies and gentlemen. This is when Donald Trump creates the two meme coins. He's got the Melania meme coin and he's got the Trump meme coin. What are these things? They're souvenirs. They're nothing. There's no upside. These are not investment vehicles. This is made up garbage. Through the meme coin, and now within the last month, the top 220 meme coin investors, and the word investor doesn't, the top 220 pay-to-play corrupt fraudsters who want access to the president, if you give the most, you pay the most for this completely valueless meme coin of either Melania or Donald, that's going to buy you a private dinner with the president. Ladies and gentlemen, that's called pay-to-play. This is probably the most overt and scaled level of corruption. By the way, did you know that there was a Chinese billionaire investor that seeded the first $20 million into the meme coin to meet the SEC regulations on crypto. By the way, did you also know that Donald Trump has shut down the cryptocurrency investigations unit within the Securities and Exchange Commission? Gee whiz, I wonder why. Also corrupt. I'll continue. I'm not even to his inauguration yet, and we're 9 minutes into the show, ladies and gentlemen. All right, focus, Maggie, focus. Okay, January 20th, he is now sworn in and finally fulfills his pay-to-play promise to billionaire oil executives. Remember when he had them all down to Mar-a-Lago and he said, hey, you guys need to spend $1 billion on my reelection campaign. And if you do, I will gut all federal regulations that relate to environmental things and fossil fuels. Well, he did it. January 20th, pay to play. They helped get him elected. What did he do? Executive order gutting our environmental regulatory system. Remember, everyone, I want you to hear me in your head. Regulations are for regular people. Should we have more efficient regulations? Yes. Should we review them every couple of years to make sure that they're actually achieving the aims that we think they should be? Of course. But regulations are for regular people because we can't afford massive air filtration systems and water filtration systems, and we can't pay individually out of our family's pocketbook to clean our water, all those kinds of things. So that's, you know, I've gotten to his inauguration date. On January 25th, what else did he do? Oh, yeah, he got rid of all of the inspectors general. Shinked, gone. Those are the ethics official that look for what? What again? Fraud, waste, and abuse. Yes, there are entire governmental units already dedicated to that within the federal government. Got rid of all the inspectors generals. They also take care of ethics investigations. They're independent of the political appointee system within the federal government. Yeah, we don't need any of those people because corruption's legal. And they also are responsible for often keeping the identity of government whistleblowers secret and helping to protect them under our country's whistleblower laws. By the way, they did that in the middle of the night. It was like a midnight purge. So I always say, if you're really proud of what you're doing, do it in the middle of the day on like a Tuesday, in the middle of the week's news cycle. No. So anyways, yep, January 25th, 17 inspectors general get fired. On the same day, he also fired the head of the Office of Special Counsel. Well, what is that? Well, the Office of Special Counsel is the investigative and prosecutorial office that works to end government and political corruption and protects these employees who become whistleblowers. So yeah, we should get rid of all that. 2 days later, he fires the NLRB member Gwen Wilcox. This effectively shuts down the National Labor Relations Board for a period of time. And why is this important? Well, because guys like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and those oil company execs, they are all being investigated by the National Labor Relations Board at the time for union busting activities. Of course, all that stuff basically shuts down. This is what's called pay to play, everyone. Remember, Elon Musk spending $250 million to help Donald Trump get elected. Oh my goodness, I'm going to have to take an actual breath, maybe put on an oxygen mask so that I can keep going through this enormous list of out loud and proud corruption from the corrupter in chief, Donald Trump. Keep your pens inked, your pencils sharpened, and your pad of paper out. Because we continue listing the graft that is MAGA. It's all a con. Do not be the mark. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Come back with us next.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Nixon and Ohio State was bad. I say we got them beat, both in terms of corruption and the just stink of it all, deporting people who are on student visas for exercising their right to free speech. It is all coming unraveled. But let me return, ladies and gentlemen, to the listing of Donald Trump's epic corruption. He is the grifter in chief. That's who we've got in the Oval Office. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. If you've got your favorite evidence of Donald Trump's corruption, whatever that may be, write it down. And then you can give me a call, because at 5:30, we're going to do the midweek sound off. What's on your mind? What is your thing this week that is bugging you the most? We're going to do that at 5:30, but let's get right back into it. I left us off just into the Trump administration, less than a month into the Trump administration, and it is pay to play every day. Every day is pay to play day in the Donald Trump administration. So let's continue. On February 19th, Trump appoints a new U.S. attorney for Washington, D.C., Ed Martin, who starts harassing former frontline prosecutors throughout the Department of Justice. Also on February 19th, or a couple of days before, Musk is given access to the Department of Labor and OSHA, which gives him access to labor law violation investigations, sensitive data. It allows him to investigate his competitors, which no one talked about. All of this is completely unethical and corrupt, but it just keeps going on. By February 15th and 16th, he starts to fire regulators at OSHA, the Food and Drug Administration, and the Department of Labor. By the way, at the time, again, all of these federal entities had or have, most of these investigations have now been shut down, but had investigation into Musk companies. For example, Neuralink was being investigated by the FDA. Anybody want to guess if that one's going on anymore? I'm going to go with no, probably not happening anymore. Cash Patel, of course, he's the nominee to become FBI director at the time. He's busy selling swag on his Cash Money Money Patel website. On February 26th, I like this one. The FAA is considering giving a $2.4 billion contract to Starlink. This is Elon Musk's company. But that contract, too bad, had already been awarded to Verizon. And it turns out the White House is just considering canceling the contract. Watch that space. It's not sure if that's going to happen yet. There has been no formal word about the cancellation. But, you know, they're considering whether or not they can do it. Because why not give it to their buddy, our billionaire overlord, Elon Musk? February 27th, Donald Trump dismisses a lawsuit against Capital One. Capital One, of course, donated $1 million to Donald Trump's inauguration committee. The same day, the SEC dropped a lawsuit against Coinbase. Coinbase also donated $1 million to Trump's inauguration fund. On February 28th, this is just a day later, DOJ announced that it would drop a complaint investigation into what? SpaceX, Elon Musk's other company, for labor discrimination. Anybody getting the message here? You donate to his campaign, you support him, any regulatory problems that you have will go away. It just continues. Apparently, on March 1st, Donald Trump was actually selling meetings at Mar-a-Lago. He charged, $1 million to dine with him. Holy cow. And according to the same report, business leaders can secure a one-on-one meeting with the president for $5 million. Oh, and I haven't even gotten to what I mentioned yesterday, the new club in Washington, D.C. that everybody wants to get into, started by Don Jr. It's called Executive Branch. I wonder what that might be in reference to. It's called the Executive Branch, only costs $500,000 to join. And you too can have access to the what? Everyone together now, the Executive Branch. On March 3rd, the DOJ intervenes in an open and shut 2020 Colorado elections case involving Tina Peters. They step in and they are going to review the prosecution. Who is Tina Peters? Oh, yeah. She was the one that tampered with voting machines in Trump's favor in Mesa County, Colorado. On March 2nd, Donald Trump launched the Crypto Reserve Fund. Like, the U.S. government should invest assets in cryptocurrency. I wonder how all that's going to sort out. Wonder if it might be any of his own currency. It goes on and on. Yuga Labs, a blockchain company, donated $100,000 to the Trump Inauguration Fund, killed that investigation. That was March 3rd. March 4th, Doge lays off thousands of IRS employees, basically making it harder to go after the large taxpayers. It's going to cripple that effort. By the way, from an ROI perspective, the IRS is a value add to the governmental budget. For every person they hire, the ROI is huge because they can actually then go after the corporate billionaire and hundred millionaire tax cheats. I can go on. It just keeps on going. We've got the Tesla advert on the White House lawn. That is corrupt. The CFPB, they basically shut that down. Oh, yeah. He had Scott Bessent gut this little thing called the Corporate Transparency Act that requires businesses to reveal their true ownership structures. Why would we want that? Corruption, now legal. I've got a whole nother page of notes. We'll continue, but next we're going to bring on Dora Drake and dig in to this native Milwaukeean, now senator in the Wisconsin State Senate. You're not going to want to miss that discussion. What does Dora have to share with us about her upbringing and why it made her want to become an elected official in these hard times? Next. We're going to just jump right on in there in a cold open, which, you know, sometimes that works too. There we go. Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on this Civic Media Radio Network. I'm not every woman, but I love talking to every woman, especially those fabulous elected officials and candidates. This is the segment that we call Broad Appeal because, yes, I am proud to be called abroad and love to bring on other outspoken women talking politics, talking about the hard issues. I'm joined with me today by my regular co-host, Dr. Kristen Lierley, OBGYN and congressional candidate. And we are here today to interview a woman that I have long wanted to meet and talk with. And I'm so excited to finally have the opportunity to do so. Native Milwaukee and fairly recently elected State Senator Dora Drake. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited. And what you guys do, it's amazing, by the way, because we need more woman empowerment, especially in this time that we're in. So thank you for uplifting the voices and all the things. So I'm glad to be here.
Thank you for that. Let's just start right there. You're a native Milwaukeean. You got your BA from Marquette in 2015. What made you decide, yeah, I want to run for office. I would like to be an elected official because it's kind of like being a glutton for punishment in a lot of ways.
In a way, but you know what's funny was I actually, that was not from my plan. So for folks that are, you know, that are listening, tuning in, you know, born and raised in Milwaukee, come from a blended family, I wanted to do change. And that's why I became a social worker, especially within the criminal justice system, because I believe people should have access to justice and equity and that people should be safe, right? But in doing that, I was seeing all the gaps that policies kept missing. And so it really took, I think I heard the suggestion run for office 7 times. And like for women, it's like a stat out there where for women to run for public office or even to consider it, mind you, not decide, consider that they run for public office, they have to hear it 7 times. So in the course of me hearing it 7 times, I was a social worker for pretrial services in Milwaukee County Courthouse, so then helping out with the local school board race, learning a little bit more about what's going on with their public education, and what it means to ensure that our children have the resources that they need to succeed. And then went back to reentry. But in that, I had the opportunity to meet one of my predecessors, Jason Fields, who was a state representative at the time for the 11th Assembly District, where he pretty much shared that you can still do good work despite the mess that happens. And I didn't believe it at first. I'm not going to lie. I thought there was a secret sauce, you know, that has to happen with politics. And once I saw, I think, the ugly that happens behind closed doors, It was hard for me not to ignore it. And so it was knowing that I can do better and should be doing better is what really led me to make that decision in 2020. During the pandemic, I ran for public office for the state representative seat at the time because I took my brother to go vote. And during that April special election, and we got there 6:50 in the morning before the polls opened, and the line was already 2-3 blocks long. And so I witnessed the voter suppression that my brother endured. On top of all the other issues that I see as a social worker, people not getting IOTA treatment, mental health treatment, or the disparities that people deal with in their everyday lives. And so ran an open primary, won that seat for 4 years, and did great work. And then, you know, just last year, you know, there was a special election that I ran for because my now new predecessor, you know, former now Judge Leah Taylor, was appointed judge. And in that, it really was the deciding factor of what's bigger than just my own life. I had someone closely dear to me that lost her life due to mental health. And so I was in a sort of a rock and a hard place deciding, do I run for office because I'm just doing what people are asking me to? Mm. Or am I doing it because I think there's a greater good that needs to be pushed? And so I'm glad that I did. You know, I have the opportunity now to serve my constituents, not just in the Assembly District, but also even more now as a senator for the 4th Senate District. And the things that I heard, you know, on the doors, like reckless driving, mental health, transparency, and accountability, I think that's just elevated everything given what's happening in our nation right now. We're hearing the cost of living for individuals, just trying to make sure they make ends meet. I have the opportunity to be the ranking Democrat for the Judiciary and Public Safety Committee. And there is this larger conversation now of what is due process? What does it mean to uphold the law, to uphold the Constitution? And honestly, what does it mean to protect and keep our civil rights? And I'm pretty passionate about this now because one of our congresswomen, Congressman Jasmine Crockett, was just on live saying that Judiciary Committee just voted to have regular U.S. citizens be able to be deported on top of minimizing what our Department of Justice and our Civil Rights Division was meant to do. And so I really do think that we are in a crux of time where we stand what our values are. You know, we value obviously making sure that people have their rights protected by the Constitution, regardless of what that looks like. And in terms of just overall health, you know, whether it's mental health, addressing the lead conditions in our schools, or even the threats to cuts on Medicaid, we're hearing that a lot. And so you can say the pivot of the things that we care for are still there, but it's now moved to a place where we have to figure out what are we doing to ensure that people just have their basic needs protected
right.
and the rights protected. And that's the time of history that we're in right now.
Folks, this is State Senator Dora Drake, Senate District, excuse me, for, I'm going to turn it over to my co-host, Dr. Lyerly, in just a moment, but I wanted to make a couple observations, Senator. The first one is every single female elected official that I've talked to, female political leader, female candidate, there is one thing that's in common, and I will include conservative candidates that are women that I've spoken to over my lifetime. And that is that the desire to run came from a lived experience and a witnessed need in the community. Mm-hmm. And I don't care what side of the political spectrum you come from. I just find that women witnessing need in their community, in their family, and saying, maybe I humbly might be able to change the conversation by sharing what I've seen is so empowering. I truly believe if we had more women from all political backgrounds because I think women are so motivated by that and they are freely sharing what they are witnessing. And frankly, women see more than a lot of men do because of the many roles, the many hats that we wear in all elements of life. I just wanted to lift that up and say, I hear and I feel that from you. And that is extremely powerful. The other thing I wanted to say is, ladies and gentlemen, what you just heard from Senator Drake, that's how an actual good faith politician sounds.
That's right.
A list of things.
We're not understanding as a country what that is right now. I hope people are seeing it. I hope they are. And I don't know what else it needs to take for people to understand. You can have different beliefs on either side of the aisle. I got family that does, right? But there's a line that has to be drawn. And I think what we're seeing right now is like, look, are you just for the common good of people? And that's where we're at. So thank you for acknowledging that. And I will say too, you know, we need more women in office because we have experiences that men don't necessarily have to deal with, especially if we're talking about childcare. That's an issue where, you know, I think women have been impacted more, especially if they either have to decide whether they want to go to the workforce or not. We could talk about reproductive rights and abortion rights. That's something that hits women obviously close to home. But in every area of life, we have a innate understanding, I would think, of understanding what it means for us to move forward as a community and also just as a country and our state.
You're so right. And, you know, Maggie, I don't want to steal your thunder, but I actually got to meet Senator Drake last week at a draft party for the United Way. It was so great. I was like, we're going to be on Maggie's show together. Woo!
I'm so jealous, right?
Well, and I do rep in the Green Bay. So, oh, well, you know, I got the yellow one too. So we got the memo a little bit.
Y'all got the memo. I'm just out here in the cold at the party.
Next time, Maggie.
Yes, for sure.
You know, I'm really interested to hear you say that one of the things that made you run was going with your brother to vote in that election in 2020. That's also why I ran for assembly.
Isn't that wild?
You saw this, you saw people standing in line trying to do their civic duty. And I don't know about you, but I just felt like there's got to be something more that I can do. Right. And I hadn't really thought about running for office before, but just like you said, I needed people to say, well, you really could do this. And it was this conversation and that conversation and all those shoulder taps that got me to the point where I realized that, yeah, I don't look like most of the people who serve, but I really could, and I can do it better.
Right.
And yeah, that's what you're doing.
Well, and again, honestly, this position is never about the title, right? Or the name. It is the people's seat. And mm-hmm. So when we're advocating for issues like protecting Medicaid, like ensuring that people have access to affordable housing, workforce housing, or even just making sure that people get their resources needed for mental health, you know, especially those that are just as impacted. Those are things that we are bringing to the table. And I'm so glad that we are in a place in Wisconsin where we have fairer maps. So in that way, the political representation is more in line with what people in Wisconsin are advocating for. But we have a long way to go. And so I know that in the Senate, we're really excited. Senate Democrats are really excited about our opportunity to be in the majority in 2 years. That is a real opportunity where we can literally shift what has been happening in Wisconsin for far too long. And that is Republicans, I hate to say it, but we got to call out for what it is. Republicans that have not met the need of where we're at in this time. And so I'm excited for the work that we're doing. And honestly, the Trump administration, Republicans got to do better. And I say Democrats have the answer for that.
I think what's really critical is that the GOP in the state assembly and Senate has repeatedly failed to move forward what should be easy, yes, legislation. We can talk about extending postpartum maternal health care, right, for 12 months. Like, that is a no-brainer again and again and again. While we're talking about making childcare affordable, making sure that our public schools are adequately funded in rural and urban districts so people do not have to keep hiking their own damn property taxes up to pay for public education. These things that deal with the true health, whether it's physical health, mental well-being, recreational health, all of those elements of our family's well-being, the GOP in this state has utterly failed. And I think it's so important to give voice to that. Folks, if you're just joining us, this is a segment we like to call Broad Appeal. We're reclaiming the word broad as women that talk about politics. And we are talking about the fact that women in elected offices and as candidates have broad appeal because we bring to the table what we have witnessed in our lives and the needs of our communities and families. I've got Dora Drake, Senator of the 4th District, with us, as well as Dr. Kristen Lierley. You're going to want to stay tuned. We're going to continue to dig into these things. What I wanted to set up for you, Senator, is what is the message that we need to change, adopt, work towards to make clear to people who may have voted for Mr. Trump that we can both be safe and have civil rights, that we can be efficient and effective without abandoning working families and people. How do we thread the needle? How do we continue to make that clear to our constituents and our communities? More with Senator Drake and Dr. Kristen Lierley right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back if you're rejoining us. This segment we call Broad Appeal because women in elected offices have broad appeal, bringing the needs of communities to the fore. This afternoon, I'm joined by my weekly, sometimes biweekly co-host, Dr. Kristen Lierley, and we've got a very special guest, State Senator Dora Drake, with us. Before the break, Senator, I left with this question of how do Democrats have a breakthrough message? And this is where I think it's been a struggle for Democrats operating in good faith, trying to explain that we can do two things that are necessarily and often at odds. I say that in every society throughout the entire history of humankind, there has been a tension between security and individual rights and freedoms. That those are two values. We want to be safe and we want maximal freedoms. And it seems to me that Republicans in bad faith intentionally often present these things as an either or instead of here's the nuance and this is complicated and hard and we can get there, but we have to commit ourselves to both of these values, which is safety and rights at the same time.
Exactly.
How did Democrats break through the messaging barrier? How do we reach our brothers and sisters who may have voted for Donald Trump and say, we can do great things, but we've got to entertain both of these values at the same time. It's not a false choice.
Right. Well, right. And you bring up a good point because, you know, Democrats, one thing that we're great at is I think sometimes over-explaining things because we have all the head knowledge up here, right? So we are policy nerds. We love to figure out what's the best solution. And sometimes that for everyday person that's just trying to either make sure the family stay, like to your point, it's just not hitting well. And so I think we have to do a better job of just breaking down what it is that we're doing messaging wise, but also connecting the dots. So for example, we, you know, in the legislature, there's obviously tons of bills that we see in the judiciary that's always about increasing penalties and crimes, right? Creating new cold laws and less than any other. And that's great in terms of being reactive to the issue. But there's not a larger conversation of what it means to ensure that people's rights are protected and that people are safe, right, and held accountable. And so because of that, I will say the tactic of fear is used way too often. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I do believe that's part of the reason why our now current president was elected. And so for folks that did vote for him, right, that did believe that he was believing in everything that he was saying, I think it had to take real life experiences to just tell the truth of what's happening. The truth is that your rights are not being protected if our current administration is okay with letting a U.S. citizen be accidentally deported, and then not doing every due diligence to bring them back from El Salvador. That is not safety. It is not safety when you have someone that's experiencing a mental health crisis and your only solution is to lock them up. That's not safety either. And so I really do think it's a taboo issue that we're dealing with when it comes to judiciary and public safety, but also just saying what it is. Yes, you deserve to be safe. Every person deserves to be safe, especially if you're trying to raise your child, if you're an elder and you want to make sure that you did your due diligence, you went to work, whether you have a retirement or a pension or investment, you should be able to live life comfortably because you earned so. Those are things that we should be protecting. And it's not just your safety, right? It's also your environment. I mentioned earlier, you know, the issue about lead poisoning. You know, if so, say we're currently going through our state budget process right now, right? And if someone is saying, hey, the United State of Wisconsin, you guys need to put more money into addressing all the lead that's in the schools and in the buildings, right? It has to be upgraded to a hospital grade level is potentially what we're looking at. Mm-hmm. So obviously it would make sense to reach out to the federal government because mm-hmm. that is entity where they should have access to resources to address a much larger issue just around public health. But if the Trump administration told CDC, hey, we're not giving you any money anymore for any lead poisoning or addressing of that, guess what? That's now a resource that is taken away and eliminated where now our local governments, our schools have to figure out how to keep kids' health and safe. And we know if children are not in school, or if there is an issue of their education upbringing, that they are more susceptible to being involved in the criminal justice system. So those are all things that are tied together. And I think really it comes to a point, I think as individuals, where we have to maybe admit that we are wrong too. Mm. And that's okay. You know, all of us don't get it right all the time, but it's okay to acknowledge, hey, this is something that we've missed the mark on. But we have.
I just want to jump in here and be like, somebody clip it, cut it, and put it out there. I just had a politician on live radio say, we can say we got that wrong and we need to do better. God bless you for that, State Senator Dora Drake. We need more of that right there. Mm-hmm. The humility, the courage to be humble in the face of evidence that what we did before ain't working now. Like, that is it right there. Kristen, we've got time. For maybe one more question. I want you to get one in as well. Go ahead, Dr. Lyerly.
I want it to be real quick. Senator Drake, you have been in the minority the entire time you've been serving. What are you going to do when you're actually in the majority and get something accomplished in 2027?
Where do I start? Mm-hmm. So first of all, well, there's so much, right? One, I think we need to make sure that obviously we're doing everything we can to keeping our communities healthy and safe. And whether that's ensuring that whatever happens with Medicaid, that we ensure that our elderly, those that have disabilities, have access to health equity and health care, making sure that we have a just criminal system that keeps people safe, but that's, you know, that's also holistic too. And third, making sure that our kids get what they need, point blank, period. You know, our kids are our future, and we're not investing in their education or their opportunities for training, whether it's apprenticeships or education. Those are things that we need to have a strong, successful economy in our state.
Thank you so much, Senator Dora Drake. Thank you, Dr. Kristen Lyerly. And I just want to say this, Senator, to take care of us, you need to take care of you. Please rest, recharge, rejuvenate. You are appreciated, heard, and seen. I cannot wait to have you back. Folks, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. When we come back, it's the Sports Weekly. We go deep with a Brewers fanatic on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.